after the international.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It's a big week in African football, with teams across the continent wrapping up their qualifying campaigns for the 2022 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. Three-time Nations Cup champion Nigeria will make a short trip to Porto Novo this week for a road match against neighbor Benin. Nigeria's German manager Gernot Rohr says Benin has proven to be a tough team to beat at home in recent years. Joining us now from Nigeria's commercial capital, Lagos, is Iron Mike Imbonye. Sporty greetings, Iron Mike.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The head coach of Nigeria's national men's football team, Gernot Rohr, and some of his players are optimistic of good results in the African Cup of Nations qualifying matches against Benin and Lesotho. Benin will host Nigeria in Porto Novo on March 27, while Nigeria plays Lesotho in Lagos on March 30th. The Nigerian coach, Gernot Rohr, says playing Benin at home will not be an easy game.
To beat Benin is a big challenge. They didn't lose since 2013 any game at home. And they are good. We know them. We had to struggle to beat them in Uyo in the first game. There was 1-0 for Benin and we won 2-1. Was not easy. But now I think we are waiting for four important key players still. They are not here. Some of the players couldn't come from Spain or from France because of the restrictions. And we will go there to do the qualification.
Captain of the Super Eagles, Ahmed Musa, says though Nigeria needs a draw against Benin, they are going for a win.
Yeah, we know the importance of the first game. Let's talk about the first game first. So I think we know the importance of the first game. We just need a draw in that game, but we are going for a win. At the end of 95 minutes, we see who is going to carry the day. That is football. You know, whenever you play at home, you have a lot of tension because, you know, the fans are there. But right now, we don't know if the fans are going to be in the stadium. So we have more advantage against them because they are playing home, we are away.
Musa assures Nigerian fans that the Super Eagles will not disappoint them at the end of the day. William Troost Ekong, Super Eagles and Watford of England defender, says the team will take the games against Benin and Lesotho serious to top their group.
All of us are expected to win these games and to qualify. And it's going to be important for us to make sure that we get the points to finish the top of the group. We have to take every team very seriously. Benin is a good team, like we know when we played them in Uyo, like you said. So there's no easy rides in African football. So every game is going to be very difficult. And we're taking these two games against Benin and Lesotho very seriously. We need to make sure we concentrate and play well to get the points.
Super Eagles midfielder Joe Aribo believes the team will work together to win the games against Benin and Lesotho.
We're ready. You know, we know what we have to do. We have to push together. We have to fight together. And we just need to stay together as a team also and give all that we can give in order to get the result that we want to get. That's the aim, to be honest. No, there's no fears, you know, because we know that we have to win that game and we want to win that game. So, again, we want to show everyone in the world, especially here in Lagos at home, that what we can do as a team. And that's what we hope to do together.
The Super Eagles of Nigeria are leading Group L with 8 points, followed by Benin with 7 points. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Iron Mike Imbonye in Lagos.
Sporting greetings. This is William Chosekong from Watford Football Club and Nigeria Super Eagles. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, Bamboozit. DC.
In African athletics, Olympic champion and world 400-meter record holder Wade Van Niekerk won a 200-meter race Tuesday in Potchefstroom, South Africa. The 28-year-old South African star clocked 20.64 seconds as he continues his build-up to this year's Tokyo Olympics. Reports say Van Niekerk was far in front as he sprinted into the final straight, and his victory came against a strong headwind. Wade Van Niekerk has said previously he's not likely to compete in the 100 meters and 200 meters in Tokyo, but will concentrate on defending his 400 meters Olympic title. Now, Van Niekerk is still awaiting clearance documents to travel to the United States, where he plans to train with 200 meters world champion Noah Lyles. Van Niekerk recently parted ways with his longtime coach, Tanny Ansbota. Elsewhere, Athletics Kenya has postponed its trials for the World Athletics Relay Championships, which are scheduled in Poland on May 1st and May 2nd. Athletics Kenya was planning to hold the trials on Saturday. The director of competition for Athletics Kenya, Paul Mutwi, says, and I quote, "We want to consult with our experts in the coming days to see how we shall handle the protocols, with a view of not exposing our athletes, officials, and everyone to COVID-19. We must come up with better ways, keeping in mind that the third wave seems lethal. It's important that we give it time."
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The Director, Heritage Department at World Athletics, Chris Turner, has been talking with the energetic Andy Edwards about his organization's new virtual museum. It's described as the first sports museum to be established solely in the digital world, and it gives online visitors an up-close, personal, and immersive experience. For our Sunny Side of Sports listeners who would like to check it out, the address is worldathletics.org/MOWA. That's M-O-W-A. Once again, the online address, worldathletics.org/MOWA. That's M-O-W-A. As part of the museum's launch, Chris Turner announced two heritage plaques. One was awarded posthumously to former Norwegian star Greta Weitz, who died 10 years ago of cancer at the age of 57. In his interview with Andy, Chris said Greta's husband, Jack, was on hand for the ceremony.
That's a remarkable story. Jack came to, I invited him to come to Aarhus in 2019, where we had the World Cross Country Championship in Denmark, because we were celebrating 200 years of cross-country running. Extraordinary. Began in a British public school all those years ago. And he came because I invited a number of champions from World Cross Country. And, of course, Greta has won 5 World Cross Country titles. And we got talking there. And he said to me there, and we repeated it on the interview we did, that when Greta started in the 1970s as a runner, it would be impossible to think that a woman would have run on the streets of Oslo. It just wouldn't have happened. It was socially impossible for that to happen. By the end of her running career, Jack and Greta together had started the Greta Weitz run. Within 10 years, 14,000 women were running on the streets of Oslo. to talk about her being a pioneer for women in sport is really an underestimation of her, of the impact. And that's one of those marvellous stories which we have to tell.
And another heritage plaque announced for, now I think you have to be quite a historian in track and field or a follower of the history to know the name, but Percy Cerruti, enigmatic to say the least, Australian coach. So many, I think so many coaches are forces of nature, and they're not always people to be with. But he coached Herb Elliott, who took part in part of the launch, and Herb is donating the vest and the number that he wore when he won and broke the world record in the 1500 in the Rome Olympics 1960. And he was looking in good shape for somebody of mature years. But he talked about Percy Cerruti and his time as a coach at Portsea on the Australian coast. And I think anybody who follows middle distance, whether they're in Africa or anywhere, it's important for them to know about figures, not just the performers, the world record holders and world record beaters, but those who've helped nurture them, like a coach, like a Cerruti.
Yeah, it's the inspiration, isn't it? I from that interview, and it was a mutual appreciation society. We had Seb Coe and Herb Elliott on the same call, just discussing. I let them talk, to be quite frank with you. I let them talk for 30 minutes recording, because it was just two people who admire each other's history in this sport and what they did. And what came out there was a wonderful quote from Herb about Percy. He said, when Percy spoke, you wanted to go out and shake the trees. You wanted to go out and shake and change the world. And I thought that even now, when I'm saying to you, it brings, you know, hairs on the back of my neck. These are inspirational figures. And it's a belief of coach in athlete, but also athlete in coach, which brings champions to the fore. And this is one of the all-time great relationships.
And just look ahead briefly to the future. I think during the press conference, you were saying about their plans to have a shop so anybody can enter the museum, this virtual museum, and buy whatever they want. Well, so, I mean, are there more concrete plans? I mean, what sort of things could people be buying?
Well, when you say a shop, and this just to re-emphasise how much this space is a proper space, and I hope people will go in and see it. You can walk down the passageways, as you've seen this museum, and you'll see it, the detail. There are electrical plugs on the wall. There are fire alarms. There are virtual toilets. It's extraordinary. So there will be a shop, and you will walk into it as it is a proper shop, as you would in a museum. But you just think about the apparel and, you know, the logos, but more the posters of the World Championship, some of those amazing images, just on those sort of beginning points. There is so much in our sports history which we can use, and there are fans out there desperate for it, absolutely desperate for it, because a lot of sports have been very good at merchandising, and I've got to put our hands up and say we've been appalling, to be honest, as a sport in general, about doing that. You go to a Diamond League meeting, you can go to a World Championships even, and there's very little you can actually buy and take away with you as a souvenir. And I know everybody, it's been quite right with sustainable, but the ephemera, something you come away with, a ticket, a program, a poster, these are the things which stick in people's minds. And to be quite honest, there's no future for many museums if we don't have that. And it can't all be online. There must be something tangible that people can hold. And the possibilities for that shop are endless. But I do I'll go back quickly to the World Championship exhibition we had in Doha for the world. For the 6 months there, and people were desperate to have things from us, and we did a launch there with a lot of top name athletes, Buzz Bashing, Lassie Deer, and people of that sort of stature, and we produced a set of postcards for that, only a few hundred of them. We couldn't sell them, we didn't have the rights to sell them, but we've got, you know, good contracts with photographers. We couldn't sell them, but it was so ridiculous. People were asking us, there must be something we can buy. We were giving away, these became like hen's teeth, I promise you. These postcards, so hard to get. So there's definitely an appetite for this sort of thing. And why not? You know, I just can't see why we wouldn't want to do this and help fans to appreciate what we've done.
I think think that's a very important point you make, Chris, because, I mean, here we are, we're talking, and in the modern world it is now, you're looking at me in my home and my bookcase, and I'm looking at, you've got posters in the World Athletics Monaco office, where you're doing the interview.
Directly behind me.
and I can see, well, there's one black and white photo, there's one in colour.
The colour is Lassie Beeren in 72, and it's the Track and Field News front cover. So I'm sure Track and Field News will be lovely, will be very grateful for the plug, but yeah, that's right directly behind me.
Yeah, and I think I would, as someone, I've been covering the sport for quite a few years, about four decades, and I've also covered other sports, and cricket was my first love. And of course, anybody who follows cricket is usually very aware of the history. We talk about great bowlers, batsmen. We have this annual published wisdom, which I have scores of wisdom. And I think there has been a gap with athletics. Things get forgotten apart from a hard core. So all I can say is on the sunny side of sports on Voice of America, Chris Turner, we wish you all well. We hope to catch up and encourage people to visit online the hashtag Where Champions Live Forever. Chris Turner of World Athletics, thanks very much for talking to us.
Thank you very much, Andy.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio. Hello, I am Shaka Fali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you. Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
And to quote Shaka, from the deepest better part of the bottom of my heart, I want to give a sunny side of sports salute to Shaka Sali for a memorable career at the Voice of America. Shaka is planning to retire at the end of May. The Tokyo Olympic torch relay is finally ready to restart on Thursday, 1 year and a day since the games were postponed on March 24th last year. The torch will begin its journey at the J Village National Training Center in Fukushima Province. And over the next 4 months, the relay will take the torch across all of Japan's 47 prefectures, including far-flung islands. About 10,000 runners are expected to take part in the Olympic torch relay. The torch was originally lit in a traditional ceremony on Mount Olympia in Greece on March 12th last year. It arrived in Japan 8 days later. The torch relay was due to start on March 26th, 2020, but with the postponement of the Olympics, the flame has been kept burning for the past year in Japan, awaiting the rescheduled games. The Tokyo Olympics are now scheduled from July 23rd to August 8th, and the Paralympics from August 24th to September 5th.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on Voice of America.
My VOA colleague, Gwen Uden, wants to introduce us to a Belgian woman who is using boxing to help fight Parkinson's disease. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Sports fans, allow me to introduce you to Nancy Vanderstraten, a 75-year-old Belgian grandmother who is throwing punches in the fight against Parkinson's disease.
Hello, I'm Nancy. I'm boxing here against by my Parkinson's disease. I'm now 9 years declared Parkinson. 6 years I really use much medicines. And I discovered that's not enough. You have to move. And box is the ideal to move.
And move she does at a gym on the Mediterranean coast of southwest Turkey, where she now lives and trains. And she tells Reuters News she silenced the skeptics who once said she's too old to step inside the ring.
If you are more than 50 years old, they really look at you like this. What are you coming to do here? But they are gentle from heart, the Turks, so they let me do. And in the boxing ring, here they accept me completely. I'm here for 3 years now. But when I say I'm making drawings, people are not really interested. When you say I'm a boxer, the reaction is immediately.
Vander Straaten first strapped on boxing gloves 6 years after she was diagnosed with Parkinson's, a progressive nervous system disorder that affects movement. Those who suffer from it experience tremors and stiffness, as well as problems with walking and speaking. Studies have shown non-contact boxing improves some symptoms of the disease, like fatigue, anxiety, and balance, without the risk of head trauma. And Vander Straaten says she has discovered for herself the benefits of the sport.
It does not stop you. Parkinson is a degenerative disease. It never stops. But you can keep slow it down. And it's like a break. And instead of being miserable do all week, you stand up and you say, oh, today, boxing. Stand up, get ready, go to box. And after the boxing, after two hours training, you feel really better.
And neurologist Gesu Karlakaya says while the sport may not cure Parkinson's disease, she agrees non-contact boxing is great exercise for patients.
You move the legs, you have to make quick decisions, and all of these keep your brain active. And studies have shown that non-contact boxing is good for the brain, so it's of course good for Parkinson's disease. Will it cure Parkinson's disease? Probably not, because it's a neurodegenerative disorder, which means we don't know the cause. We don't have any treatment, and it's progressive. But it does improve the quality of life for patients.
Vander Straaten trains 3 days a week and says because of her time in the ring, it's easier for her to do housework and continue working as a furniture designer and painter. And she has some advice for anyone in need of motivation to get moving.
My doctor said one day it is forbidden to you to sit down. Go on. And that's my counsel to everybody. Just go on. Find a sport that you like. Close your ears, because everybody says, oh, you should sit down. Oh, you are tired. Oh, you should eat pastry. And have no voice. Go out to sport and do something that you like.
Words to live by from boxer Nancy Vander Straaten. Back over to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden.
Sport greetings, everyone. This is Falilat Ogukoya, Olympic silver and bronze medalist, African record holder, ran the best quarter mile in the world, 1998. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
in National Basketball Association action Tuesday night, the New Orleans Pelicans spread their wings and soared past the defending NBA champion Los Angeles Lakers by 17 points. The AP's Mark Myers reports.
Brandon Ingram scored a season-high 36 points as the Pelicans beat the Lakers 128-111. New Orleans blew it open with a 43-point third quarter as the lead grew to 30. Ingram had 17 in the quarter.
I think my teammates did a really, really good job of just finding me whenever I was open, whenever I was able to find space and create for myself. I went and did it with no hesitation, and the result was good.
Zion Williamson finished with 27 points. L.A. struggled again without injured stars LeBron James and Anthony Davis, losing their third straight game. I am Mark Myers.
Thanks, Mark. Elsewhere around the NBA, Cameroonian star Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers has also been sidelined recently with a knee injury. On March 12th, Embiid hyperextended his knee in a win over my favorite NBA team, the Washington Wizards. And Embiid hasn't played since. Without Joel Embiid in the lineup Tuesday night, Philadelphia scored a big road victory against the Golden State Warriors. The AP's Ryan Leong reports from San Francisco, California.
Although they blew a 24-point lead, the Sixers closed it out in the fourth quarter to beat the Warriors 108-98. Playing without Joel Embiid, Philly had all five starters in double digits, led by a strong performance from Tobias Harris, who scored game highs with 25 points and 13 rebounds.
You know, I would just say my attitude is not to get the highlights or, you know, get the praise. It's just to get the win.
Ben Simmons added 22 for the Sixers, who have won 11 of their last 13 games. Meanwhile, the Warriors played a third straight game in a row without Stephen Curry, who was out at least another week with a bruised tailbone. In the loss, Kelly Oubre Jr. scored 24 points and had 10 rebounds. Ryan Leong, San Francisco.
Thanks, Ryan. In the results of the four other NBA games Tuesday night, the Denver Nuggets scored a 110-99 road victory against the Orlando Magic. The New York Knicks trounced my beloved Washington Wizards 131-113. The Phoenix Suns beat the host Miami Heat 110-100. The Suns, by the way, have won seven consecutive games on the road. The first time Phoenix has had such a streak in more than 14 years. And in one more NBA result, the Brooklyn Nets scored a 116-112 road victory against the Portland Trailblazers. In more NBA news, vaccinated fans will soon have their own sections at Miami Heat games. The Heat announced plans to open two sections in its arena's lower bowl only for fully vaccinated fans, starting with an April 1st game against the Golden State Warriors. Miami is the first NBA team to reveal such a plan, though other clubs are believed to be working on similar measures.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Steve. That's my VOA colleague, Steve Miller. In women's football, the head coach of the world champion USA team, Vlatko Andonovski, has named a 23-player roster for friendly matches in April in Sweden and France. The American women will use the games as part of their preparations for the Olympic women's football tournament in Japan. 15 of the players were on the USA's 2019 world champion team. The United States is bidding to become the first country to win a Women's World Cup and an Olympic gold medal in the same four-year cycle. There were no real surprises in the players who Coach Andonovski summoned. One of the players he named is Carly Lloyd, whose next appearance
will make her the third American to play 300 international matches. The now retired Christine Lilly is the all-time leader with 354 caps, and Christy Pierce is next with 311 international appearances. Sweden will host the American women in a friendly international on April 10th, and then France will host the USA 3 days later on April 13th. And that wraps up the March 24th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.